can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, great to have you with us on the podcast. Al is out one more day. He comes back on, well, more than that. He'll be back on Tuesday is his vacation, and this cloudy, crappy weather continues. Has not been great. So, Connor Green, you were a big hit on YouTube.
Yeah, not
too bad. A
lot
of people enjoyed the video of you being a fraud.
Yeah, they love that.
That's kind of cool.
Well, you know, Jerry, you say fraud. I say semi-fraud. Semi-fraud.
Call up Connor this weekend. You're doing a show when again? Remind everybody.
Sunday morning, 2 to 5 a.m.
So Sunday morning, Saturday night, if it's a weekend for you.
Mm-hmm.
Call Connor and yell at him. Call him a fraud. enjoy the show over the weekend. So a couple of different topics for you here that I'm going to hit you with. I saw an article. Well, first of all, how did you enjoy the show this morning with Robbie from Bob Does Sports and Mike, who was in there with you guys all morning?
It was great. I thought they had a good rapport, Gio and him. So a lot of golf talk. Now, I'm not the biggest golf guy, but mm-hmm. I thought it was good banter, witty banter back and forth.
Right.
But I'm not like you. I've tried to get into golf and just can't. I don't have the attention span for it, I don't think, Jerry,
okay.
Where I get 2 to 3 holes in and then kind of done with it.
Wow. So that's how I am with cornhole.
Really? Cornhole?
I just don't care for it.
Really?
And I ran a league for 8 years. Think about that.
And you just got tired of tossing the beanbag after a while?
I never got into it.
Really?
No. How
did you get into running the league?
Because I was renting the gym for my travel baseball teams, and when our winter practices ended, I just assumed that the guy would give me the gym again the following winter. And he's mm-hmm. like, well, that's not how it works. You committed your 13 weeks. He goes, I got to sell it. It's my job to sell the time.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, unless you can come up with something, you can keep the Mondays. I said, give me a couple of days. And I mentioned it to my friend just in passing. I didn't even expect him to come up with a suggestion. He's like, why don't you start a cornhole league? I'm like, what?
So you ran a cornhole league for 8 years and you didn't like cornhole?
I don't play. No. And the times I have filled in for my dad has a team. My brother played for a while. I have friends. Brian Monzo was in it for a while. Numerous times it would come up, hey, can you fill in for me? I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And like after one game, I'm like, we can play more.
It's
best of
it.
Seven.
Yeah.
And routinely, I would end up in 7-game matches.
Oh,
where
God.
I'm like, by game five, I'm like, it's just a nice.
Just wrap it up.
On, just beat us.
You're going to like throw out the game. You're going to just toss the beanbag to the side and that's it.
Now, I get part of the fun is having a drink and all of that. But for me, it was Monday nights. I was working the next morning. I wasn't partaking in any of that.
Yeah. So, that's how it is with me in golf. And it's so frustrating, too, because it's sitting there. And I played baseball back in the day. I was an all right player. And you would think it's sitting right there.
It's not that simple.
It's just not that simple.
Yeah. You probably
the
like
harder
me.
You try, too, the worse the worse it really is.
The harder you swing, the worse it is.
Yeah.
And the shanks are a real thing. That's why it was fun talking to Bob about that this morning.
Oh, yeah. I thought a few where I shot it over the side into someone's almost their house area.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It can definitely happen.
The worst.
All right. So I was reading the post this morning, as I usually do before a show, and I saw this article that the headline was Uber to cut 3,000 drivers because the self-driving platforms are becoming very real, very quick. Have you ever been in a self-driving car?
I never have, no. I've never actually seen one of those self-driving cars.
They're not here. You really got to go out west. So I was in one.
You were?
In Los Angeles earlier this year.
Were you afraid when you got in?
I wasn't. I felt pretty, I saw them all over the place. And I took like literally a 4-minute drive. I was on the campus of UCLA after Rutgers practice. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to try one of these things. And I'm not going to lie. It was very cool. There's still something, though, about having a driver.
Mm-hmm.
But it leads me to this thought, like, if that really is going to be a thing of the past at some point, and I guess it will be. Like, what is left for a desperate person that needs to make money? And I'm not saying if you're an Uber driver, you're a desperate person. You're not at all. You're making significant money. But I also know in this day and age we're living in where jobs are coming and going, that it's something you can fall on if you've got a license and you've got a decent car. You can go make a living driving.
Mm-hmm.
If that's going to be taken away, Like, what next?
I know. And that's already with AI, where you have all these jobs that are going to take it. They talk about how there's not going to be accountants in 5 to 10 years because
I could see that.
Of that. And then you can't have people that can drive a truck because that's going to be a self-driving car. So at some point, we need people to be able to do something because I don't know what they're going to do. You can do like a universal basic income thing, but I don't know how that works if everybody's out of work.
It sucks. I believe we're a long ways away from that.
Yeah. But I mean, they talk when you see this Claude stuff that comes out, where they'll say that we're 2 to 3 years away from full automation of almost every 9-to-5 or white collar job, which I think is a little bit blown out of proportion, but
I don't know that it is.
It seems like we're getting closer and closer. And it seems like no one ever really talks about the automation, because what happens when everything's automated? Because accountants are accountants.
In terms of having more people unemployed?
Yeah. What happens when you have half of all jobs where even blue collar work becomes an artificial intelligence thing, or all white collar jobs because of artificial intelligence? What happens to all the people who need to get jobs? Because it's even happening now.
I'll give you a couple of scary ones. And this is where you really start to get concerned that when you hear all this, you know, the AI will take over stuff, which is doomsday. I've seen experts say that will never happen. And then I've seen experts say, beware.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. It usually does.
And you think if we're doing all this work with it, the only inevitable outcome is that you get some sort of super intelligence at some point down the road.
Right.
Right?
Oh, there's no doubt.
And then when that happens, it's like every movie where there's robots and machines like The Matrix or The Terminator. At some point, the machine's going to realize, well, I'm smarter than all these people. Why am I taking orders from these people?
Yeah.
And then what?
And you better be nice to it.
Right.
You really feel that way.
Yeah. I'm even nice not any kind of machine or robot I use nowadays. Just
I don't
in case,
blame you.
To get some good karma.
You never know.
Yeah.
I do use it a lot. I use chat. I know Al likes Grok. You mentioned Claude. There's mm-hmm. Gemini for Google. There's all of these different types. I use chat a lot. And it fascinates me. I know it can make mistakes. There's no doubt it can make mistakes. And it does. But some of the stuff, so my wife has been dealing with a pretty significant shoulder injury. Now, she's been to a couple of orthopedics, and the last one seemed to have really gotten it. I will tell you what wound up being what it is and how to fix it was literally everything that chat told me.
Really?
The moment I put in her symptoms. Now, again, this is just once. I'm sure it screws up a lot. But it then was asking me, do you have the x-ray? I could look at the x-ray. And mm-hmm. I didn't go that far. It is beyond crazy,
yeah.
Some of the things that it does do. So you mentioned accounting. Why couldn't I put in all my information and say, hey, can you spit out?
Do my taxes.
Yeah. And it will give, I'll give you another one. And this blew me away. So there are companies that do charts for play-by-play announcers. And, you know, it's a lot of work. And I've never used one, ever. I've been doing this. I've probably called I've probably called 500 or 600 college basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
I've probably called, I don't even know, 125 college football games, and I've about 50 NFL games now at this point. I've never subscribed to any of that. Last year was the first time I used one of the sites because I had an NFL game, a Rutgers basketball game, and then a college basketball game. I had 3 games in 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know what? For this random NFL game, I'm going to give it a try. If when I get it, it's no good, then I'll scramble and I'll do it. And all I had to worry about were the rosters and maybe some storyline. Okay. So I paid with great service. All good.
Mm-hmm.
For poops and giggles. As I started doing my work for Giants Cowboys next week, which I am doing for Compass Media Networks, I started doing it with my pen and paper, and I'm like, So I went into chat. I'm like, can you do me a favor? Could you possibly make me a broadcasting chart if I gave you the players and what I want?
Yeah.
Certainly. You name it. So I gave all the offensive players. I said I needed what year they were playing, height, weight. I wanted their 2025 stats, their career stats, and their career highs.
Mm-hmm.
Within 6 seconds, I had a beautifully formatted Dallas Cowboys offensive chart.
And how long would it take you to make that yourself in the past?
Oh, usually when I do a game, I will tell people I'm shut down for the week. So usually the way for a game week, so essentially next Sunday night is the first game on the 13th. So that means for me, I have to watch the press conferences during the week, but that also means sitting down at my dining room table or in my office mm-hmm. and putting together the charts that literally probably take...
I used to do that when I was in college. And
I'd say 10 hours worth of work.
Yeah.
I would say.
And so and Grok finished it for you, or was it ChatGPT?
Chat did the charts.
In 6 seconds.
Yeah. And it's better than anything I could have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got notes in it that I probably would have never found. Now, I make my flip charts. I mean, those are non-negotiable. I got to do that on my own because writing, it helps me with the numbers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it blew me away, like, how good that is.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of positives to it, but then there's a lot of negatives, too. Like, you talked about how it's nice that it can almost act like a doctor, and you can maybe save a little money if you have, like, a little...
Be careful, though.
Or something like that, and you listen to it. Yeah, be careful that you don't get bad advice. Because there are times where I'll Google... Last week, I worked on Evan and Tiki, and they asked, did Malik Nabers catch a pass from Jackson Dart when they played together last year? I typed it into the Gemini thing. It said no. But then we looked back, and then he actually had caught one pass before Nabers got hurt and missed the rest of the season. Hmm. So there's a little...
It makes mistakes.
Sometimes it does.
No doubt.
But for the most part, like, it's very useful and helpful. But then you get into... It's also a big issue with students because they've had a lot of issues with high school kids where they give them homework. How do you stop the kids from just...
You don't.
Typing it into, hey, ChatGPT, do this formula for me.
You can't.
Figure out this equation for me.
Mm-hmm. You can't.
And then you're going to wind up at some point one day where there's a doctor who went through medical school using ChatGPT mm-hmm. who relies on that to make your diagnosis, and then you have to wonder if that's correct. So there's a huge negative to it, too.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And I'm
sure
we'll get robot doctors at some point, but I don't know. It's
I
nice
think
to have
that's
a human being.
Far into the future. At least I hope it is.
Yeah.
There are robotics, though, that do surgeries. Now, they are overseen and, I believe, controlled by humans. But we do have robotics already and robotic doctors. Not doctors, but surgeons.
Yeah.
Basically, where they do these tiny little incisions and they get it. It is beyond crazy.
It's crazy. And the whole world's changing with all the AI. And just think about where it was. Think about where technology was 100 years ago. Like, I think we talked about the other day, the Holland Tunnel and the Lincoln Tunnel were built 100 years ago. And people were using horses and buggies to go through the Holland Tunnel. Nowadays, the concept of having an iPhone back in 1925 would have been considered magic to those people.
Right.
And now we have that. We have even more than that. And it would have blown people's minds.
Right.
And I always take it for granted, too, because I'll get annoyed when my Wi-Fi doesn't work for 2 seconds. Right? Or you're on a plane and you have Wi-Fi and you get all mad. Yeah.
There's nothing. I mean, that's like, you know, what do we always say? First world problems.
Yeah.
But to what you're saying, it felt like technology came slowly and it took time to develop and perfect. I would agree with you that the last 30 years has been warp speed with where we've gone from where we were and where we're going.
Yeah. I talk to my dad all the time about this, and it's amazing to me that he grew up and really the computer wasn't even really a thing until it seems like the late 80s at work he was using it, the mid 80s. But he grew up in a time where if you didn't know something, you just didn't know it unless you were going to go to the library and take out
you had the encyclopedias at home.
The encyclopedias at home, but even then they don't have everything.
True.
Like the idea of not knowing. And sometimes I over-rely on it because I just am always like, well, I'll just Google it. I'll Google it instead of actually like learning the information and really remembering it.
Yep.
But the idea that back in the day where my dad would say that they'd have, you know, you have 3 TV channels.
Yeah.
Or even the idea that the football game, the Jets would play on a Sunday. And then if you didn't watch the game, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't going to see it again.
Unless you had a VHS recorder back in the day.
Right.
In the 80s.
Yeah. And so my dad now always is going back and watching games from the 1970s and 60s. And then we'll make fun of him a little bit. But to him, like, he saw this game when he was 10 years old or whatever. And now he gets to see it again for the first time in all these years. Where to me, I never even thought about that because almost any game I've ever seen, I can watch it again on a 17-minute highlight video on YouTube.
Or you can watch the whole game as soon as it ends.
Yeah. And it's on multiple platforms.
Yes.
It's crazy.
It's remarkable. It's but also very scary, too.
And I don't know if it's good for people, especially with social media, because you get...
Social media is the pits.
Yeah, because a lot of people have gotten a little bit crazy, Jerry. I don't know if you've noticed across the board. Yeah.
You think?
And I think a lot of it is that we're way too interconnected. You always feel like...
We're inter-disconnected.
Yeah.
We're connected in the wrong ways. Mm-hmm. The phone is... I almost hit a girl yesterday trying to get to the Holland Tunnel. Because as the light turned green, you know, most cars in New York City, not that you're flying, but you're kind of going 22 miles an hour and they turn green, but you always have to have your head on a swivel. This one girl as the light turns green is when she decided to start walking across the street as with her head down and her phone. Like, what are you doing? It's brutal. So that leads me to the next topic. So that's a really good transition. Are influencers ruining everything? You saw what happened at the U.S. Open last night.
Mm-hmm.
We've got them all over the place on social media, on YouTube. You don't know what's real, what's not, who's being paid, who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, for instance, when I did my blueberry lemon drink. Right, I did that back in, I think it was December or January. I'm going to do a new one soon because I passed a full calendar year of drinking it every day.
Really?
So I'm going to do an update, an updated one. But I know in the first version, I don't know if the second one I did, I made sure to let everybody know I'm not selling you anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not selling you flaxseed. I'm not selling you chia seed. I'm not selling you a subscription for frozen nothing. This is just information because every time you watch these, mm-hmm. there's always something that someone's trying to sell you. So is it real or is it for pay?
Yeah. And a TikTok, I'm on TikTok all the time, and they're annoying because they have these ads that are they're sneaky with it, where it's like an influencer thing. It's a sponsorship, but they pose it as a real video. And it's very annoying because then you wait 2 seconds and you realize they're trying to sell you something. Yep. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this. I don't want this product. The influencers, everyone's an influencer, though. Everyone's got a TikTok account. Everyone's got a Twitter account. Everyone wants to go, well, not everybody, but a lot of people want to go viral and make money on social media. Anybody can be a content creator nowadays.
Well, true.
And it's always so weird.
You gotta make money, though. It's hard to make money.
It's very hard to make money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's annoying when you see somebody on the street filming a TikTok video because you don't realize it when you're watching one of those, how odd it is to do it, or when they did it at the U.S. Open, how weird it looks.
Oh, stupid.
And you're being loud and everyone's trying to like enjoy their time. So yeah, it's become, but everybody now wants to be an influencer because everyone sees people like Mr. Beast, who is now,
well,
which is impossible.
Top of the top.
But they see if you somehow get lucky, you can make a bazillion dollars making videos or TikTok stars.
Well, so there's a couple different things. So there's making videos, and if it works out, great. So like I have a golf channel on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any sponsors. I don't push products. It's fun, though.
Do you do golf? Is it golf tips? Or
No. It's like a lot of it I'll use for my son's like competitive matches. I'll video his when he's playing in tournaments, and I'll stream. So it'll live there, and I can always go back and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like that. I'm going to do a match with JJ next week.
What are the view counts you get on the videos?
So it depends. Anywhere from 200 views mm-hmm. to 25,000 views.
And what's like what makes a one goat big and one not?
Great
it's the same
question.
Thing with Twitter, because I had a few tweets last week that got huge, but I have no idea why. I don't know if anyone retweeted them. I looked through, but no big famous. So I was like, why did that one get big and others don't?
Alan and I talk about this a lot. I guess a lot has to do with how the platform decides to disperse your content and to who. And do people see it or not? I mean, I had one on Twitter. It was so, like, just, it was innocent. I was on a train going to do, matter of fact, it was that fourth game, I believe, in the 3 days I was talking about, the third game in 4 days I was talking about earlier. I think it was the St. John's game. I was on a train going to the Garden on like a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just killing time. And I was annoyed that the Mets offered Kyle Tucker all this money.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even offer Alonso anything.
Yeah.
And so it was just this very innocent thing.
I remember that tweet, yeah.
I believe that had 400,000 views. And like 20,000 replies or something.
Oh, really?
It went.
Were people agreeing with you on the tweet?
No. I would say, so there was no in between.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it was 60% of the people agreed with me. 40% of the people thought I was the biggest schmuck on the planet.
And
Pete Alonso sucks.
They don't hide it, too. They will say the nastiest things about
they,
you. They don't care.
Hide it. Are you kidding me? They hide behind their computer screen is what they do.
Yeah, last week I called more slurs and horrible things ever. I got called 1,000 terrible things by people. And people wanted me dead for it. It's like a tweet. Yep. It's like, you know, you could just move past it. You could just scroll right through it.
The one thing I'll never understand, I'm going to try and find it if I can here. The one thing I will never in my life ever understand is, so there are radio shows I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
There are radio personalities I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
just
listen.
Don't listen to it.
I mute them on social media, or I don't follow them, and I don't listen.
I know.
There are so many, I shouldn't say so many, but there are certainly numerous people that despise me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, and turn me off.
You're not like a hot take guy where you're given, like, firing off crazy. Like, yes, I don't, but
I don't
people
care enough. I just,
and if somebody didn't like you, but I've had people when I've been, you know, producing, call in. and basically yell at us for how bad the show is. It's like, you really felt the need. And I always try to play it nice. I go, okay, well, thanks so much. I'll pass it along or something like that. Right. 'Cause I don't want to feed into it. But you really felt the need to call in to yell about something. Or if you see a tweet you don't like, unless it's something completely egregious.
Yeah.
And it's always like an egg profile. It's someone that has no face or name attached to it. And you can just say whatever you want. But it goes back to people on social media. They you go crazy because... And I almost wonder, like, I wonder at times if that's truly what people are like, or is it just a small percentage of people on Twitter that act like that?
Well, I think it is a small percentage.
Like, would people act like that in public more often if they weren't afraid of getting, like, punched in the face?
No, a lot of people actually, I've had multiple people meet me at an event that we've done for the show, and they'll be like, oh, it's great to meet you, take a photo, yeah, my pleasure, ah, you know, by the way, I'm so-and-so, I kill you on Twitter all the time. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
why? Like, what did I do to you? Anyway, my numbers were a little off. It wasn't 300,000. So this was the tweet. Literally, I'm just trying to kill time. I wrote on, somewhere in January. So the Mets are offering $50 million a year to a 29-year-old, very good player, but one who does not play every game, Kyle Tucker, and whose primary position is the same as their billion-dollar player, Juan Soto, right field. Yet didn't even make an offer to Alonso, who's only 2 years older at 31, proven can play in New York and plays every day. That's
a very fair.
There's
no,
nothing
fair
crazy
opinion.
About that.
No.
That got 292,000 views and a couple thousand likes and a lot of replies.
Yeah.
And then so I got murdered. So then I wrote, for those fighting me on Alonso, my point is simply that the Mets should have kept him and they could have added the likes of Tucker and Bellinger. Imagine Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Tucker, Bellinger in the same lineup. That's how you compete with the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And then get a starting pitcher, too. And then I wrote, you know, this platform is fascinating. One, you're so right. Two, you're a dummy. Three, you're spot on. Four, you couldn't be more wrong. Five, you suck. Six, love you guys. See you tomorrow morning. It really is hilarious. It was.
Yeah.
I couldn't get over the reaction I had from that.
Oh, yeah.
But.
And you don't know why it gets big. I put a tweet out. I said it's the World Cup semis when that was on, starting at 3 p.m. on a work day.
Right.
Is not particularly ideal. That's all I said.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Beyond
it,
fair.
It had 3.8 million views.
You're kidding.
Somehow it got overseas, and I had British people were all mad at me. Oh, you're typical American that only cares about America. And I'm like, well, yeah, because I live in America. I didn't really consider it. I didn't think anyone in Europe was going to see this.
I wasn't tweeting out to Scotland.
Yeah, and they were all mad at me. So I was fighting back and forth with, which I like to do a little bit because I like to get people wound up once they start getting mad at me.
That's funny.
But yeah, I got British guys and Scottish guys and people in Spain being all mad at me and saying that soccer's not, it's football, not soccer and the whole thing. But
I know.
Why that got big, I have no idea. But of course,
it's
everybody
weird,
just gets
it?
Crazy.
Very,
yeah.
Very weird. Anyway, all right, well, I got to go.
All right.
This was good. Find a way to label this creatively.
Will do.
And then you're in tomorrow?
Yep.
All right,
one more
we'll day. See you tomorrow. You've got CeeLo doing the warm-up show tomorrow. Me and Gordon Damer on the show as G is now off until Tuesday. So that's the deal. You got the last word. I will see you tomorrow.
See ya.
All right, here we go. Thursday morning. Nice to have you with us. The warm-up show. We are a week and a day away from cool games and the start of the NFL season, which does begin Wednesday and then Thursday, but then the full boat on Sunday. Rami and Connor, what is up? One of those guys will join me at 45. You guys on the phones at 520 or so as we do four calls, 888-808-1019. If you don't call, no problem. We've got a ton to do today. A lot of actual fun stories, too, to some degree, and also a little bit of a change this morning. As we've got a guest host coming in, Robbie Berger from Bob Does Sports will sit in with Gio from 6 to 10. And I will just put it to you this way. My son has come in to work with me probably 6 or 7 times in the last 7 or 8 years. That's probably about right. He's now 16, so maybe even longer than that. There has never been one time where he has actually sat in the control room and watched the show. He comes in and he usually hangs out at the computer waiting to do what we're going to do after. One year we went up to Connecticut because we had the Travelers the next day. He came with me, so he traveled that day with me. Today we are going to go play golf afterwards, but that's not why he's here. As I am doing this show right now, I look in the control room. He's not there. Couldn't give a crap that I'm actually doing a show right now, nor does he care when I do a show with Boomer or Gio or anybody else. Bob Does Sports is coming in today at 6 o'clock. He will be in the control room, literally fixated on this. So hopefully you guys will enjoy it. He's a great personality. Should be a lot of fun. 6 to 10 with Gio coming up in a little while. All right, before we get to some of the wild stuff, and that would be whether it's Kawhi Leonard, whether it's Catherine Hickman, whether it's Tiger Woods. I've got some cool Jalen Brunson stuff to get through. You got idiots at the U.S. Open doing things with cameras. We'll get to all that in a moment. But just a couple of minutes on the baseball, only because, how about the Mets helping out the Yankees again last night? The Mets wind up taking 2 of 3 in Tampa as the Yankees, as Sal used to say, while you were sleeping, were busy beating the Angels 6-3 in a very tight game that went 10 innings where the Yankees explode for 5 runs. It was a 1-1 game. I just got done watching the bulk of the game a little while ago because I was long asleep when that game started at 10 o'clock last night. But a lot of things to, I think, like about if you're a Yankees fan. And again, you can do this every day. We can be up, we can be down. But largely, this is kind of, as the offense has gotten better. They hit a lull for sure in August where they were, maybe even part of July, where they were one of the worst offenses in all of baseball. Maybe even the worst. I mean, it was horrible. On a nightly basis, they would go out there and put up 1 run, 2 runs, get shut out. And if their starters didn't give them a lot of length and, you know, low run output from the opposing team, they were likely going to lose the game or at least be hanging in there for dear life, kind of like last night. But this is the part you like about the Yankees, and that's the starting pitching and what Cam Schlittler has been. And he doesn't factor in the decision, but you get 8 innings from Gordon. See you tomorrow, man. That's Gordon Damer, everybody. He will be doing the show with me tomorrow. He completely ignored me. That's fine. Schlittler early this morning goes, or rather late last night, goes 8 innings. He strikes out 9. He gives up the 1 solo home run. Like, that's it. He gave up only a couple of hits on the night. He kind of dominated throughout, and if the Yankee offense would have given him anything more, they would have, you know, won the game rather easily. And that's what the Yankee team has been, but this is why they've got a chance to win, especially when the lineup gets a little bit healthier, when Judge does come back. And we certainly know at this point it seems like he will be back in time for the end of the regular season, get some at-bats in, and then be good for the regular season. And while Aaron Judge may not be the Aaron Judge you're used to because it might take him some time to get going, it has to help the lineup in a multitude of ways. They break out for 5 in the 10th last night. They win the game. They win this series. Now, you could argue, you know, winning the series not good enough. The Angels are one of the worst teams in baseball. Really should have gone out there and swept them. Fair enough. I won't argue that point. But at the end of the day, they did win 2 out of 3. The Mets beat the Rays. And so now the Yankees are 3.5 games out. 4 in the loss column, but 3.5 games out in the AL East. That having been said, you feel good for Austin Wells. Now, did he hit a moonshot for the go-ahead 2-run single? No. But he did what they say you've got to do. Hit them where they ain't. And that seeing eye single, we were talking about the balls with eyes yesterday with Gio, that seeing eye single yesterday drove in those 2 runs, and then you get base hits from the likes of Bellinger. Rice had a hit. Grisham had a hit. And the Yankees wind up winning a game late into the night. Their 80th win of the season. You know, that's the thing, too, and I heard Gordon at the end of his show referencing what me and Gio were talking about yesterday, and that the Yankee fan not satisfied. And, you know, partly because they've been, for lack of a better term, a flat winning franchise for the better part of, well, let's see, 30 years. I mean, think about that. 30 years, they've been really good. Now, they won in 96 and 98 and 99 and 2000. They lost some World Series along the way as well. They won it in 2009. So if you take it from 2009, when the World Series winning ended, aside from a couple of bad years, and by bad, I don't mean 60 and 102. I mean, you know, 500, a little bit more than 500. This team's a winning team every season, but it's a flat winning team without the World Series championships. And here they are on the verge. They're 2 wins away from clinching, which they will do, clinching yet another winning season. Again, not good enough. I understand that, and I would accept that, too, if you want to call and argue about that. You're right. It's not good enough. It's about winning World Series at this point. It's enough of making the playoffs. It's enough of just getting to the ALCS. They've got to go to the World Series and win the damn thing. And I believe they're capable of doing it. I really do. So they take 2 out of 3. They get the Padres now this weekend. So they are off tonight, as are the Mets. So their record will sit there at 80 and 60. The Rays, I'm trying to think. The Rays are playing Texas, I believe, this weekend. So I'll double check that. But I believe the Rays play the Rangers, a team that is right there in the midst of this wild card race. Matter of fact, I didn't double check it before I came in, but I believe they're sitting in that third wild card spot. Are the Rangers, might even be leading the division in the AL West. That's a weird division because you've got teams, if I pull it up really quick, the teams like hovering right around 500. They're not great teams, and yet, you know, they've got a great opportunity to win the division and potentially get in the playoffs. So the Rangers are, no, so the Rangers are trailing the Astros by two games. Okay, so they're two games out, and then in turn, point is, this is a team fighting for their life. Right now, Cleveland is still the third wild card team. Texas is two out in the loss column there. So they're two out in the division, two out in the wild card race. That is a team that is literally playing for their playoff lives. Who knows? If the Yankees take care of business with San Diego this weekend and Texas can take a couple from Tampa, you could find the Yankees literally 2.5 games out on Monday, or even two games out. I have to see if that's a four-game series with Texas or not, but you know, with 20 games to go, 22 games to go, whatever the number is now, there's still a lot of baseball that has to be played. And, oh, by the way, the Yankees do have a big series with the Rays this month as well. So was it the best of wins? No, but it's a win. It's a series win, and the Yankees press forward. One other thing from this game, because I said there's a lot of really interesting stuff to get to this morning. The photographer that gets hit in the head. So, I always say we're reactive, we're not proactive, really in anything that we do, which is sad. So they didn't have nets up in hockey arenas until, sadly, a girl, I believe in Raleigh, I could be wrong about that, but I believe she was in Raleigh, was hit in the head by a puck and ultimately, I believe, passed away. All of a sudden, nets up everywhere in hockey arenas. You know, in baseball, you didn't have nets for the longest time. I remember sitting here talking about this with Boomer and Carton back in the day. Like, what is baseball doing? You've got these line drives that fly over the dugout. How people don't get killed, I'll never understand. And I think some people have been seriously injured. They ultimately went to the nets and not the dugouts. And I get that. I mean, I think there probably should be some protection for these guys. We saw what happened to the Orioles manager earlier this season. But all right, fair enough. You want to say they're pros, they should have better reactionary functions. Fair. I'll buy that. The idea, though, that you have people, and this happens, you know, it could be Steve Gelbs, it could be Meredith Marakovich, it could be any sideline reporter, that you have media members, photographers, in these little wells right next to the dugout, unprotected, is absurd to me. So this guy last night, I think it was the sixth inning, Ben Rice is up. He hits a line drive. Now, this is the interesting thing about this, too. This was not a screaming 105-mile line drive. This might have killed the guy if it was. It was a 75-mile-an-hour, looked like a looping liner that kind of went around the dugout, and it hits the photographer, knocks him off his feet. He's down on the ground. They got a call for help. He gets carted off the field in a neck brace. I believe he went to the hospital for observation and was okay. But, you know, at least in hockey, so Michael Kay and Paul O'Neill, there was I think the delay was 10.5 minutes as this was going on. And they're having the conversation. Paul O'Neill is talking about how dangerous it is for these people to be down there. And part of what he's saying is they're not athletes. They're probably not 20 years old. They don't have the greatest of reactions. And, oh, by the way, they're doing a job. So while they're focused on the game, your focus could get away from you for a moment if someone asks you a question. You don't have to watch every single pitch. But if you're a photographer, you probably have your eye in the camera. You're focused on the field. How in the hell are you ever going to react to a line drive coming at you? And then so Michael made the point, you know, it's hard for the photographers because it screws up the shot. And what do you? True, except for one thing. You know, in hockey arenas, the camera people have a little cutout for their lens. There is no reason that you couldn't do the same thing for these people. Now, do I think they will? I don't know. I mean, like I said, we're reactionary more than proactive. I certainly would think someone in MLB's offices right now is saying, why are we not protecting these people who can't protect themselves? It makes zero sense to me. But whatever. We shall see if they do that. There you go. We shall see if they do that going forward. So that's the baseball story. Mets, by the way, in San Francisco over the weekend. And good for Nick Morabito and for Brett Beatty last night. Big hits. You had the kid, Morel, made the catch the other night in a win. So some of these no-name kids coming up contributing to what's been a lousy Mets season, now 63-77. The thing for me that I will watch the rest of the way with whatever it is, 20-something games to go for the Mets, is how close can they get to 500? You got to figure, they have only got four losses to play with. Can they get this to a number? The season's lost, the season's dead, but the team hasn't quit, and the pitching's been, for the most part, been better the last 2 months. Soto's back. Boy, if Al was here, Al would have let off with Juan Soto with an eighth inning solo home run and a blowout win. Yes, he would have. Juan Soto's back. The lineup is, for the most part, as healthy as it's going to be. You know, Luis Robert's now gone, as we know. Jorge Polanco's injured and done. So what you're seeing is what it's going to be, but you do have Lindor and Soto and Beatty, and Vientos is back now, and Simeon is playing, and you got the kids, Benj and Ewing. Is it possible that they could put up a respective, and it would never be good because of what the expectations were, but could they be something like 79-83? We'll see. You know, it's at least it's something to watch down the stretch. Or you could just not watch it all, not care, and move on. So there is that. So that's the baseball story. My guest is with Robbie Berger in this morning, who is a noted big Yankee fan. My guess is you'll have a lot of Yankees talk today. But that said, there are days when you come in here. And, you know, I've done enough shows over the last, I guess, 9 years, 10 years, where Boomer and Gio are out, and I get to plan the show. And there have been enough days where I've come in here and say, oof, how the hell are we doing 4 hours today if the only topics are the Yankees and Mets because ain't nothing else going on? So you would think it's, you know, September 3rd. We're 10 days away from the start of our NFL season, meaning the Giants and the Jets. We're only 6 days away from the Wednesday night NFL game and then the Thursday night game that really kicks off the season. So you would think that we could come in here, you know, chock full of NFL news. We could do that. There's plenty of sound that I will get to throughout the course of the morning. However, this story with Kawhi Leonard, I shouldn't even say story. The decision that was made and the punishment that was handed out. Now, I haven't had a chance to look this up, but this has got to be one of the harshest penalties, aside from being banned for life like Pete Rose was. And that's one individual. This wasn't a collection of people involved. Aside from Pete Rose being banned for life from Major League Baseball, I've got to look. Matter of fact, Connor, you're in there not doing anything. Can you do me a favor and just look and find me the harshest penalties in the history of sports? And I don't need anything from 1893. Let's say from, you know, 1950 to now. You want to say the Black Sox scandal? Okay, I mean, we could say that, but that's 100 years ago. So listen to what the NBA officially ruled. I actually noted all of these because this is incredible. And, of course, the one guy who gets off almost scot-free is Kawhi Leonard, which is hilarious, but whatever. So the story has been that the Clippers, the only way they got Kawhi Leonard was by giving him his monster contract, but then also, quote-unquote, circumventing the salary cap by giving him other endorsement deals, whether they were real or not. And it certainly seems like he didn't do much for this money. And he earned a ton more beyond what his NBA salary gave him. And as we know, these guys make a bleep ton of money without endorsements. But apparently that wasn't enough because his good old Uncle Dennis had to make sure that he got himself more. So, and you give a lot of credit to the, I think it was Pablo Torre that was the first one on this. And he was, as it turns out, man, he was dead right about it. So they rule that, and by the way, last week there was some story that seemed like there wasn't going to be much of a punishment or penalty, interestingly enough. But that was incorrect. So here are the penalties that came down either last night or yesterday afternoon. Number one, and most people will say this is the harshest. It's hard to argue. The Clippers lose not one, not two, not three, not four, but five first-round draft picks going forward in 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33. Five first-round draft picks. Gonzo. Now, that's about as harsh of a draft pick penalty as I can think of. Again, just sitting here in the moment. That seems quite severe. Okay, we're not even close to done. Now, you could say that this is a drop in the bucket for the owner. Very true. But no one likes writing checks at all. How about the fact that the Clippers have to write a $30 million check as a fine? $30 million. To me, that, again, I know for Steve Ballmer, it's nothing. I get it. It's still $30 million. Number three, I mentioned Ballmer. Suspended one full year. Get out. How about this one? We haven't heard this name in a long time, and I forgot he was even there. The basketball operations president, his name is Lawrence Frank. Remember him? He was the head coach of the Nets back in the day. A lot of people thought he stabbed Byron Scott in the back and got that job. Yeah, he's been suspended for 6 months. What'd you come up with so far, Connor?
So the Penn State scandal obviously was a big one.
That's a scandal. What were the penalties, though?
The penalty was a $60 million fine, four-year ban from postseason bowl games, reduction in scholarships.
Okay, that's fair. That would be comparable.
What else? Actually the Timberwolves back in 2000. They were stripped five first-round picks and fined $3.5 million for signing Joe Smith to a secret illegal contract.
Wow, okay, I don't remember that. That's interesting.
But $3.5 million, obviously different than
the penalty here. And I don't know that that's equal to $30 million, but it's probably pretty close. Mm-hmm. And five first-round draft picks is very severe. What else?
SMU football death penalty, 1987.
Oh, that's right.
Canceled the season, 55 yep. scholarships for yeah. boosters and administrators.
And there was that E60, or ESPN did that documentary on that. That's
yeah.
right.
And then other than that, I mean, the Astros sign-stealing scandal in 2020,
wasn't nearly that bad.
Nope, and then there's individual punishments like Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, this is more than individual. That's why I said, more along the line of organizationally. So those are three.
Most of the big ones seem to be in college. This might be the biggest in the history
Shocking.
Of professional sports.
I agree. Now, the Timberwolves one is interesting because that's five first-round picks and a lot of money, too. What I would wonder is how – so I just mentioned Ballmer – Lawrence Frank, they also suspended for a full year their business president, Gillian Zucker. The organization goes under NBA compliance monitoring for 5 years. Kawhi, and this to me is a joke. The fact that he gets off without a suspension is hilarious. He gets a $700,000 fine. Now, I just said no one likes writing checks. No doubt about it. But if he can write that check and go make $50 million this year playing for the Raptors, like, are you serious? So I imagine this trade now goes through because Toronto has nothing to do with it, and Kawhi's not suspended, so why would it not go through? And then, by the way, his uncle, who I guess acted as his business representative or business partner, he's been banned from doing business from the NBA for 5 years. So when you wrap all of that into it, if this isn't the biggest, it is right there up there with Penn State might be. That's a good one. I forgot about that. And SMU, obviously, is a big one, too. But professionally, I think this is even bigger than the T-Wolves one that Connor just found. So it is, man, you know what? Pablo Torre, you nailed this one. This one is incredible. So the Clipper, and how about this, too? Just to get Kawhi Leonard, it cost them a lot. So this was some mess that, you know, it's so funny. We're here in New York. And we always talk about how the Jets can never get it right. The Mets never win. They always figure out a way to screw it up. And I don't think the Mets are on the Jets level in that regard. But there are Met fans that feel like the Mets are never going to win again. I mean, are the Jets and Clippers not like one and the same? And not that the Jets have been suspended. I don't mean that. I just mean in terms of they never seem to get it right. And even, you know, the Jets had a couple of, you know, AFC championship appearances with Rex. It's not like they haven't had good seasons and good little runs. They have. But for the most part, they don't win anything. Well, the Clippers are in L.A. with the Lakers. You're kind of the little brother out there. You've always been. I think they got to a Western Conference Finals once with Kawhi. But it's always like they're in mud. Or they're underwater, or they're climbing uphill. Any cliche you want to use. And even when they got Kawhi, you thought, here we go, we'll overtake the Lakers. And then you fast forward a few years, this is like NBA death. Like, I don't know how, I mean, you can sign free agents. It's not like there's no path around it and that you can't be good. But the point is, no matter how they try and do it, it doesn't work. And here, this is, I mean, you're talking three guys, including the owner, in upper management, suspended for 6 months or more, and in a couple of cases, a full year. Man, that was really something. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, We will do four calls if we have them. 888-808-1019. It can be on the Yankees, the Ballmer stuff, the football. It can be about Al's vacation. Where's Boomer? We can talk about Bob Does Sports, Geo, whatever you want, the show, or whatever's on your mind. 888-808-1019. If not, I've got a lot of interesting football topics as well, including one close to home with the Jets and their kicking situation. We've got a weird situation in Cleveland, beyond strange. We've got something from, the tennis from last night, which is pretty crazy, and golf as well, because we got some dope we got to get to. I'm going to try and hold the audio for 6:30, but, well, if not, we'll play it earlier. It is the warm-up show without Al, who will be back on Tuesday right here on The Fan.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Allison Chains on a Thursday morning. We got the warm-up show till 6 o'clock. We've got Gio and Robbie Berger from Bob Does Sports. Then you on the calls now, on the phones, four calls, 888-808-1019. It can be about whatever in the hell you would like to discuss. So call number 104, Greg in Mineola. You're up first on the warm-up show. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Well, I'm driving down the Long Island Expressway, so I could be in a better spot.
I understand.
But I'm not in a hurry, so it's fine.
Okay.
Well, I just, it's just been bothering me. We talk about, first of all, the value of quarterbacks. Again, I think you're better off getting a lineman, a group of linemen, and then taking your quarterback as compared to letting your quarterback run around for 2 years to try and save his life and then building a line. So that's a different story. But watching these hits that Jackson Dart takes, I mean, it almost seems like the Giants should fine him. If he gets hit for a stupid reason, you fine him. Like, I mean, he's too valuable. I don't. I the jury's still out on how good he is. Well, I mean, he's too valuable in terms of his position, not his ability yet.
No, I understand, Greg, and I understand your point for sure. I think fining him would be a bit excessive because he is doing what comes natural to him. I remember when Lamar Jackson first broke on the scene, I was doing shows in the summer as we were getting ready for an NFL season. It might have been his third or fourth year, I don't remember, and I got heavily criticized for saying I didn't think he would be a great quarterback, not because of his ability, but I didn't know that he would be able to last full NFL seasons because of the way he played the position. Lamar Jackson, though, got very crafty and very skilled at knowing when to run, where to run, when to get down, when to go out of bounds. And I think you're going to see that from Jackson Dart. I mean, his, you know, instinctually, when he sees an opening, he's going to take it, what he needs to do. And I do believe you're going to see a change in him. He's got to learn when to slide, he's got to learn when to step out of bounds. You got to remember, you know, as a rookie, you're trying to impress people. You're trying to go out there and lead a football team. And I understand you're putting yourself at harm's risk when you go for that extra yard or two. But at the end of the day, it's also what the game's about, is fighting for those tough yards. I don't think we will see that going forward. I really don't. Now, will he take a big hit from time to time? Yeah, the hit he took the other day in the preseason game last week was not his fault. Guy missed a block, he got lit up. That's going to happen. There's nothing you can do about that. Might he take a cheap shot on the sideline? Of course. Guys are going to try and make a point. You're not fining him for that, though. I mean, I understand why you're saying that. You want him on the field. I think, though, with anything in life, you do it once, you're better the second time. You do it two times, you're better the third time. It's why we go to school to learn things. It's why you can't just be an electrician and, you know, put yourself out there and go over and try and change light bulbs and fixtures and you don't know what you're doing. And I guarantee you, the first time you do it when you go to trade school, you're not very good at it. But by the time you graduate, you know what you're doing. I really believe Jackson Dart learned a lot from last year, and I think you'll see a different type of version of him and not as reckless, because I think that's kind of where you were going. Ryan in Marlboro. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Hey, Jerry. Doing well. How you been?
I'm good. Good morning.
No, first time, long time. Love the guy.
Cool.
Love what you guys put out in the morning.
Thank you.
I'm just going back on the line drives. Did you guys see that play by Don Mattingly the other day?
I did not.
One hopper?
No, I did not.
Oh my God. You got to find that clip. It takes a one hop over into the dugout and
right.
just effortless. Just puts his hand out, snags it. You can see the coach in the background, whoever was in the background too, throwing their arms up.
Right.
But just going to your point, these guys, the athletes, you know. Just effortless.
Yeah.
When you're a photographer, you're not in that play. You know,
no, I
you're
listen
looking all over the field.
I couldn't be more with you on that. I'm trying to find it quickly here. If while I have you on the line looking for the, oh, here it is. Let's see here. Boom. So they call it, Rami, my fader is down, right? They're calling it muscle memory. As I pull this up, it's coming up on Facebook. Yeah, I mean, and you're right, Ryan. To the point. Now, Don Mattingly is not, 30 years old anymore, but. It's the pro athlete. It's the reaction of the pro athlete. You know, we sit here and, you know, Boomer talks about being 65 years old. You know, Boomer, I've played golf with him only a couple times this year, but I played with him twice. Boomer is 65. And I know he's 6'5". I get that point too, but he's 65 years old and he can still drive a golf ball 290 yards. Boomer can still at 65 years old go out there and put up a 75. There's something about the body and the mentality of a pro athlete that's just different from us, you know, common folk. and that's the other part, too. It's not even just the reactionary part of it. If you're a photographer and you're holding a camera, I mean, you're already, in the count 0-2 because you've got no reaction time. You don't have your hands aren't quite available. You are focused on your job. You're not thinking about a line drive coming at you. It's pretty wild. Dave and Ronkonkoma, call 3 of 4. What's up, Dave?
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning to you.
What's going on?
Jerry, so I have a Mets-Jets comparison, but I want to touch on the Kawhi Leonard situation. You know what it is? I think it is somewhat unfair in the sense that, I mean, the punishment's the punishment. I'm not questioning that. But I think it also depends on who it is. Like, would they have done that? Would they have given a fine or a punishment to the organization, to the president, to the player, if it was a LeBron James when he was in Miami or a Curry?
It's a great question. I would say,
or,
this,
you know?
You know what, Dave? It's a good question. But I would say Kawhi, while not crazy animated, he's very quiet, as we know. He is a superstar,
right.
But you're right. The bigger question would be, how few would be affected in this way? I agree. LeBron may not, and Steph Curry may not. But I don't know if they wouldn't do the same thing to an Anthony Edwards or a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think you're right, though. The top of the top might get away with a little bit of a lighter punishment, but I don't know about anybody else.
Right, but even Leonard, who I think is one of the best players I think I've seen in my generation, I mean, I think at his prime, I don't think that would have, or like at least prime Toronto.
Maybe.
I don't think that would have, you know what I mean?
I think the bigger question is would they have done that to the Lakers? This is the Clippers. You know, it's not the Knicks or the Lakers or the Celtics. But you know what? They didn't do it, so we'll never know.
All right. And just, I guess my other point with the Mets, you know, with our Mets, and I'm a Mets Giants guy, but like I said, I try and pull for the Jets as much as I can every now and then. But when that comparison, I guess, they're almost very parallel. I mean, I think the Mets and Jets are just closer, I guess, when it comes to winning and their trials and tribulations. Because realistically, how many championships do they have among both, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they come close. Their years that they did do come close, like the Rex Ryan years and so on, and the Mets when they had, 2015, 2006. But they just don't pull the trigger.
There's a reason why they haven't won now in 40 years. There's not. I don't know what the reason is, but they haven't won in 40 years. The Jets haven't won since 69. I think while they are similar, as I mentioned earlier, and you just alluded to as well, the Mets have been a better franchise, I think, than the Jets. I mean, the Jets have not been to the postseason now in 38 years. I'm exaggerating, of course. After Rex, there's been nothing. The Mets have given you a season here, a season there. The problem with them is there's no sustained postseason run, meaning the Yankees are in the postseason every year. They might not win a World Series, but they're in the playoffs. The Mets seem to make the playoffs for a year or two, and then you don't see them again for a couple of years. Like, it's hard for them to put put together for whatever reason, back-to-back years. It just doesn't seem to happen all that often. But they did go to the World Series in 2015, which would be, I was going to say comparable, not really. The Jets only got to the AFC Championship game. So they did win the pennant in 2015 before losing to the Royals. They did win the pennant in 2000 before losing to the Yankees. They did win in 86, which is 17 years forward from when the Jets won. But yes, very parallel in what they have done or haven't done. All right, I got two. I'm going to take both of them. I know I said four calls. We'll do five. Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Peter?
Jerry, thanks for taking my call. I love your show. Just quickly, 2 points and then I have a question. Also with the Clippers, they also gave up five draft picks as SGA to get Paul George, which was a condition for Leonard to come to the Clippers.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, it's more to get him. It was a lot more than this. I mean, this punishment is even worse.
Exactly. Jerry, quick trivia question. The Clippers, what city franchise did the original come from? Do you know?
The L.A. Clippers. I do not know who or where.
Buffalo.
Okay, there you go. What year was that?
I think they went to Sacramento first.
Okay.
But Buffalo played in the, I guess, early 70s. They left. They had a guy, Ernie DiGregorio, and Bob McAdoo, led the NBA in scoring a number of times.
There you
go. I think sometime in the early to mid 70s.
Cool.
Jerry, here's my question. You know, I was doing some calculations, so if we have a baseball strike next year, I'm telling you, I don't know if a judge is going to go to 500. You know, I did some math, whatever. So here's my question. What's going to come first in Major League Baseball? A 200-game winner, a 500 home run hitter, or a 3,000 base hit?
All right, so this is interesting because I saw your question on the board, and I pulled up the numbers, and my first thought was that we will see a 200-game winner. That's out the window. That is not going to be the case. My answer is going to be the 3,000 hits with Freddie Freeman. So here's why, real quick. Freddie Freeman, who rarely, I shouldn't say rarely, but plays a lot of his games. He's out there in L.A. He's got almost 2,600 hits. He needs 400 more. Now, he's 30, his mid-30s, I would say. Will he play long enough to get 400 more hits? I'm going to say yes. So I'm going to go with 3,000 hits. But in terms of the home runs, and I'll get to the pitching in a second, in terms of the home runs, this is interesting because it should be Giancarlo Stanton, but the guy can't play. He's sitting there with 456. Mike Trout, 424. He'll get there eventually, but he's another one. Misses a million games. Who knows when he gets there? Don't trust Manny Machado, 390 home runs. Paul Goldschmidt towards the end. All right, here's your two guys, Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge. Harper at 390, Judge at 385. I would think Harper gets there within 3 years, maybe. Judge, how much does he play? If he plays, Judge will get there in 2.5-3 years. And then the pitching one with the 200 wins, this one's fascinating. This is going to take a while. Justin Verlander, 256. He's towards the end. Max Scherzer, 223. He's at the end. Gerrit Cole is then your leader in wins, 161. So he should theoretically get there in a couple of years, but you're talking about 221 seasons. So he would go into his third year. So interesting question. I do enjoy it. We will find out in the future. Chris in Franklin Lake, the final of the calls, and you're gone. So that is, are you there?
Chris? Yes, I'm here. Hey. I'm happy to be the last one on.
What's going on?
All right, so one thing, what is your handicap? And if, second thing, if Al picked up golf and then he played against Boomer and beat Boomer, do you think Boomer quits at golf?
Oh, God. And if Al beat anybody at golf, we should quit because he doesn't play. And I've and I don't mean, could he get good at it? Yes, Al is athletic. He just has no interest in it because, as he has said, he can't hit the ball. I've seen him on the range. He can swing the club the same way he can swing a baseball bat. So if he played, I think he could be okay. My handicap is, I have to look, I think it's a 13.8. I've had a very up and down season. I've had the Hazel Rockets, which I think I'm finally through. Bob, if you follow him on social media, he's had what he calls the shanks for 10 months and going strong. And that is really rough. So when I don't shank the ball, I've actually been okay this year. When I do, you know, I struggle to get it up and down, but 13.8, I've played better than that at times, and I have played a lot worse than that at times. I am your average weekend hacker. I suck like everybody else at golf. Like, really, everybody's terrible. Unless you're on the pro tour or you're like a scratch golfer, you're not any good. Neither am I, and neither is the guy next to you.
But yeah, that's where I'm at. And yes, Boomer would quit if Al beat him. I think that's possible. All right, the fan focus on the way out the door, and then we'll come back with who's coming in? Connor, Rami's coming in with Rami. Yankees beat the Angels in 10-6-3. 5 runs in the 10th. Mets did beat the Rays 10-4, so you got the Yankees 3.5 behind Tampa in the AL East. A story we will talk about on the other side. The Jets brought in Justin Tucker for a workout Wednesday. You had the U.S. Open stuff going on. We'll discuss that as well. And then we've got Gio and Robbie Berger coming up at 6 o'clock right here on The Fan. All right, 549, Lincoln Park. So thank you to, let's see who this is from, Eric Sexy. I'm sorry, Eric Smith on Twitter.
I was going to say, you think that's his real name?
No, but that was his profile name, giving us the Saints penalties to compare with this.
Right.
Really good, but I'm going to say no because they were only, they were fined $500,000 and they had to forfeit a second round draft pick. This is 5 first round picks. And also the penalties to Vilma, Hargrove, Will Smith, and Fujita were all under appeal reversed. So while Sean Payton was suspended, as we know, for a season, and Greg Williams, all of that, this to me is a little bit more. So
I joked with Connor, they should have made Steve Ballmer sell the team back to the racist guy. That should have been the penalty.
Oh, God. Well, he's dead.
Is he really? Donald Sterling?
He died years ago.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. My bad.
That's why not? You fit right in with everybody else.
Exactly.
The one thing I didn't do yet, I'm not going to ask you who the fake tough guy in the Yankee was last night. We'll move on from that.
Still judge.
The Justin Tucker situation with the Jets. And here's what I say. Bring him in. Worked out. What I didn't realize from this is, and I was reading the story this morning, we're usually smoke fire. So I'm not saying he didn't do anything. Smoke fire, there's usually something there for sure. But he hasn't been criminally charged with anything, nor has he been sued.
Right.
Which is, I thought there was a settlement, but I guess not.
Yeah, with him, I would bring him in for sure. Now, he was tailing off a little bit in Baltimore, but he's better than anything the Jets have at this point.
Right.
And right now, again, there's no suit, right? So there's no lawsuit. So what are you going to do? Yeah, it's a couple of people filed complaints. And by the way, I guess you could say allegedly, like you said, smoke fire. There's reason to believe because I worked in Baltimore and I met him a couple times because he actually came to the radio station.
Yeah.
And he seemed like a good dude. But all of a sudden, the second he got in trouble and this story came out, all the people in Baltimore were like, oh, yeah, see, we knew about this guy, which is...
Yeah, people do that all
the time.
People
love saying
though.
That after the fact. Oh, yeah. You did, but you didn't want to protect those women if you really did know about
exactly.
this. So, like, I don't know. I don't, but again, like you said, smoke fire. But why not? Could it be worse for the Jets? There's no negative story that could hurt them more than they're already hurt.
And it, by the way, this is Rami. I didn't introduce him. I apologize. In a day and age where, I mean, you see Terry and Arnold get picked up. I mean, NFL teams will do whatever they can if they can improve their situation because it's a big business and it's about winning. And I've always brought up Greg Hardy to the Cowboys, made me sick back in the day.
But like you said, the Jets haven't won in 38 years.
The Jets haven't won. The kicking situation is a problem right now going into the season. And if, again, without real proof, and also the fact that I'm trying to double check this, it doesn't look like there's been a settlement. He hasn't been sued. Bring him in. I mean, let him kick. So we'll see. Now, they didn't sign him. He worked out for them yesterday with a couple of other kickers. But this is definitely a need for them.
Yeah, they need a kicker. They cut the guy who won the competition in camp, right? So they had a competition the entire camp. And the guy who won the competition is now gone. So they need a kicker to come in. This is one of the better kickers we've seen in NFL history. Bring him in. Why not?
Now, the other NFL story, which is cute, interesting. Did you see the Catherine Hicks, the assistant GM of the Browns, wearing the Los Angeles Made Me Do It sweatshirt yesterday?
You think that's a sign? Do you think that's on purpose?
Here's what I know. Whether that's a new brand that I'm not aware of, which
right.
is certainly possible.
You're saying it's custom made.
Even if it is. You want to talk about poking a fan base that is disgusted by this team by trading Myles Garrett to L.A., and having Deshaun Watson as their quarterback, and you do that?
You want a hot take for the morning, though? Jared Verse is going to have a better year than Myles Garrett.
I won't argue that. I think Jared Verse, that's the one guy.
Player.
People don't talk about how good he was in L.A.
Yeah.
I would not disagree with that. He might have a monster season. You still got rid of Myles Garrett,
that's
though.
That's true. Fan favorite.
And she goes out there and wears that. Like,
And I have to go listen to the whole thing. The best I could do was I asked AI if any no one asked her about the sweatshirt.
That's unbelievable. That's just a bad job by the media there.
Weird. And then I know we don't have much time. I apologize. Also, they asked her, has anybody called about trading, you know, for your quarterback? She took the longest pause and then had to come back to it later. By the way, I didn't mean to not answer. That's Andrew's question, not mine.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We're clear. Yeah, because you kind of made it sound like, yeah, you're fielding calls about the. All right, we got to go.
Yeah.
I apologize.
All good.
Robbie Berger and Gio coming up next. Odyssey Sports Minute Now. We got about 20 seconds or so. We've got Gio and Robbie Berger, Bob Does Sports, coming up in just a couple of minutes from 6 to 10. They'll have a lot of Yankees, I would think, because Bob loves the Bombers. I will also get to, throughout the course of the morning, sound from Jalen Brunson. We've got Von Miller. These U.S. Open influencers are out in full force at the U.S. Open. We'll do... okay.